Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
The College Baseball Experience on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. So go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. All righty, I can't talk. It's 7:40 in the morning. I haven't slept yet. Odds came out at 4 o'clock in the morning. I've been handicapped for the last 3 hours, so I cannot talk. But all right. Welcome back to a brand new episode of the College Baseball Experience. I'm your host, Noah Bienick, aka 77NB. That is my Twitter tagline, the word 70, the number 7NB. I'm trying not to waste too much time, and we got to get right into these games because some of them, the first one starts at 9 p.m. or 9 a.m. Yeah, I can't talk because I'm just haven't gotten any sleep. But I mean, just a quick recap of how we did yesterday on the pod. The picks went 4-3 total. I only added up what I tweeted out total. I was 5-4 yesterday, up just over 2.5 units. Yesterday on the pod, we hit +155 on Texas A&M's money line. And then Charlotte minus money, Wake Forest, which we called that was going to close way higher than that did. I think it was at like -180. Stanford closed at -190, but Arizona had different ideas, different plans. And we hit that podcast parlay too. So actually we were 5-3 on the pod because Kansas State and Wake Forest did come through at +152 for us there. The three losses, Stanford, Washington, Boston College, the five wins, Charlotte, Wake Forest, Oklahoma State, Texas A&M, and then the parlay of Kansas State, Wake Forest. The one ad that I had yesterday was a total. It was Notre Dame, Wake Forest, over 12.5. They scored 12 runs and we got screwed there. But, and then the picks page, I wanted to recap this and what my record was so far this week, 116-88. So that's pretty damn good. You can find this page for free, all of my picks. So it's all these picks that I give out on the pod here, and then the mid majors as well. You can find that at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/college baseball picks, or you can go to the homepage on it, click on the MLB tab, and then the college baseball picks link is there. Or it's really cool, you can type in college baseball picks on Google and it's one of the top links for you guys. Awesome. We have a couple of guys waiting in the chat. I'm recording this at 7:45 in the morning. So at 7:26, Jordan Thackeray goes, Dallas Baptist, TCU, Southern Miss, +182 thoughts. Appreciate the work, man. So Jordan, we'll jump into some of these games. I actually would leave Southern Miss out. Just of those three, I kind of like them the least today. Sam T saying go blue. So let's make some units. Yeah, like I got the Michigan hat sitting over here. I'll put it on when we're handicapping them and back. It's just Tigers. But I'm rocking the Oakland Grizzlies hat because our boys took down Wright State yesterday. The big bad Raiders in the Horizon League, they have ran that conference for the last, I don't know, 5 years. And I've got a couple of buddies on that OU team. I am pulling for them very hard to get them into the NCAA tournament before some of my buddies graduate. That would be super, super cool. Lane Elliott goes, thought I was late, but I'm not. Let's freaking go. Yeah, man, just nuts. DraftKings didn't post odds until 4 a.m. Legit. It's insane. But maybe I'm more insane. Lane Elliott goes, also great game by Wake yesterday. They battled back after being down and held that lead, even though ND had some runners on each inning. Yeah, I mean, I was not even expecting them to start Seth Keener, which actually that was even better for us there. But Notre Dame was, they were not going away at all. And I talked about that yesterday. It was not your typical punt play because Notre Dame is trying to improve that NCAA tournament resume. They were on the bubble there. But at the same time, it was just way too cheap of a price on Wake Forest, who's clearly the number one team in the country. And again, I think they're mispriced today. Just a sneak peek into the podcast. And that's it for the live chat that was commented. So let me jump into this. Let me tell you about Edge Boost one more time before we go into some of these games today. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Similar to buy now, pay later programs, Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest and pay back the advance over four equal weekly statements. That's 0% interest. Simply deposit the funds right into your account, and Edge Boost will match the deposit so you can double the funds on any legal sports betting site. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in advances. Yes, that's up to $2,500 extra that you can add to your bankroll. So go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. You must be 21 years or older to use this, only valid in legal states for gambling. And then if you have a problem gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. This one starts at 9 o'clock a.m. in the American. Welcome to the YouTube Live, Carson Bowser. He says, go Hogs, baby. Yeah, man. Arkansas is rolling right now. That's kind of one of the teams that I think has the best chance currently to win the College World Series. 9 a.m. in the American. East Carolina is minus 300 against South Florida, plus 235. No confirmed pitching matchup here, but after the Pirates have used Josh Groves, Trey Savage, Zach Root, and Carter Spivey in bulk, I think that Garrett Saylor will make the start here after a short seven-pitch relief appearance against USF on Tuesday. He gave up three runs on three pitches, but he did pitch five innings of scoreless relief against the Bulls last Saturday. So he's pitched against USF twice within the last week. Saylor is 2-0 with a 4.54 ERA, 50 strikeouts, 7 walks in 41.2 innings. He's been stellar this year, and you know how it goes in the game of baseball. Saylor was great last Saturday. He was dominant. He only allowed 3 hits in 5 innings. Then on Tuesday, the Bulls make adjustments, and they blitz Saylor in however many pitches he pitched. He didn't even really get out of the first inning that he threw. And then now it's Saylor's turn to tinker with his approach and attack these hitters and go deep into this game to help out this pitching staff that's endured 3 games in 4 days. This is South Florida's third game of the American tournament. So it's an easy projection here after only throwing 18 pitches of relief on Tuesday. That's Nolan Huddy. The sophomore southpaw is 1-3 with a 5.97 ERA, 31 strikeouts, 9 walks in 31.2 innings, and 6 starts this season. He started against ECU on Saturday and pitched 6 scoreless innings. In his Tuesday relief appearance, he gave up a 2-run homer in his 1 inning. So I think that both pitchers, they're in the same spot here. They pitched great on Saturday against each other, against these two teams. Then they relieve on Tuesday and they get hit around. Both of them, I think, should be able to make some good adjustments here, come back a little bit better. So I think they'll fare all right. The Pirates, they've averaged 8.3 runs in 3 games in Clearwater, South Florida, 13.5 runs in 2 American Conference tournament games. So, I mean, you just can't bet East Carolina at minus 300 here, not even just put it in a parlay. The pick is South Florida plus 235, but I'm not going to touch it with actual money here. Shane Kenyon, welcome to the YouTube live chat. He goes, can I get a Big Ten and ACC conference winner? Noah, the DGen King LFG. So the Big Ten conference winner is going to be your Michigan Wolverines right here with the hat on the bed. I'll get to that in a little bit. Actually, it's this game. Hold on. We are winning the whole damn thing in the Big Ten. It's just the thing. We just hit really well in Omaha. I don't know what it is. I can't tell you what the pitching staff's going to do. I can't tell you who we're going to roll out on the mound, but I know that the offense is going to rake. They did it last year. They lost the first game in pool play. They ran the table, played as many games as possible with as little of a pitching staff they had, and they found themselves in the NCAA tournament, and I think they might be able to do it again this year. Maybe not. Probably not. But Iowa's minus 180 against Michigan and plus 145 at 10 a.m. We have no confirmed pitchers here, but we haven't had one for a single Michigan game. And even though they're my team, I have not been able to project a single starter correctly. And usually I have somewhat of a good idea, and I've been completely honest. And I've said that Kurt Barr could pitch like the last two times that I've had to project here. Like, I said he could pitch yesterday. He didn't throw. Mitch Voit threw his first career start and actually did really well. So I think that Barr still has a chance to start this game. He's on 10 days rest. He last pitched last Tuesday's game against Xavier, and I haven't heard of any injuries. So, yeah, I think that Barr is bound to pitch this week. The freshman is 1-1 in six starts with a 4.37 ERA, 17 strikeouts, 19 walks, and 22.2 innings pitched. My bigger question is the quality of rest from some of these top bullpen arms, or lack thereof, behind him. And then for Iowa, Marcus Morgan and Brody Brecht have already started Big Ten tournament games. So the three-headed dragon that leaves Ty Langenberg here to start this game, he would be on 7 days rest. The junior right-handed pitcher is 5-3 with a 4.50 ERA, 71 strikeouts, 28 walks in 64 innings. Ty Langenberg has a 4.64 ERA in his last five starts, and the Hawkeyes are 3-2 in those five starts. So I say all that to say, who the fuck cares? Because go blue. The Wolverines are raking in Omaha right now. I'm not taking it, but Michigan's winning this game. I'm going back to the Oakland hat because I would actually much rather prefer Oakland to win with all the buddies that I have on that team. At 10 a.m., Kansas State plus 155 in the Big 12 tournament against TCU minus 190. I have no listed pitchers here. Therefore, I project that Mason Buss to start for the first time in 12 days after getting rocked by Oklahoma State for seven runs and 2.1 innings. Mason Buss is on Kansas State, but he has the third most starts from the healthy pitchers that the Cats have. So I think you're going to have to bring the freshman back into the limelight here after not being pitched for 2.5 weeks. Buss is 4-3 with a 3.78 ERA in six starts this season, 50 innings, 42 strikeouts, 18 walks. He's actually not that bad because I mentioned that he got rocked against Oklahoma State in his last start, but I mean, he had a 2.14 ERA in his previous eight appearances before getting shit on by the Pokes. So it's actually not terrible. Pretty good, actually. Is this a movie script ready in the making, or is it a TCU team that's averaging 13.4 runs in five games played this season at Globe Life Park? That's just going to be an absolute buzzsaw waiting for the freshman here. Sam Stoutenborough, who I project to start on Saturday for the Horned Frogs. He's a grad senior. He would be on full rest after starting last Saturday against Kansas State. He allowed just one run in 5.2 that day. Stoutenborough is 3-0 on the year with a 4.25 ERA, 45 strikeouts, 14 walks in 48.2 innings. I think that TCU's offense is just scorching hot, and it's hard to fade, but like I stated, Buss actually isn't too bad. I'm not going to force a play on TCU minus 190 here, but I do think that's who wins this game. So TCU minus 190, like we mentioned in the chat, who brought that up? It was Jordan about TCU being in the parlay. It's not a bad look at all. I think that they do win this game because they are facing a freshman pitcher who hasn't thrown in 2.5 weeks, but at the same time, he actually hasn't pitched too bad this season. Again, I had, so I I couldn't wait anymore. I had to handicap some of these games on loose leaf, not part of my notebook paper, because I didn't know how much space I was going to need when the odds came out, what I was going to want to talk about. So yeah, I didn't know what was going to happen. 10 a.m. in the Conference USA tournament, Charlotte is -165 against Middle Tennessee, +135. No listed pitchers here for this matchup, so I project that Miles Langhorne will start for the Fighting Clits. Yes, that's correct. We got a tweet about it, and that's just something that Colby's ran with forever on the college football, college basketball experience. So I figured that I'd crowbar it in yesterday, and then somebody tweeted out about it, which means that, hey, we're growing the brand of the college experience through college baseball. Who would have thought? Because the college basketball show's freaking huge. The college football show's doing great, and we're the newest one of the branch. So, hey, I love it. But anyways, Miles Langhorne for Charlotte appeared for 23 pitches in relief on Tuesday, but he should be good to go to get his sixth start of the year on Saturday. The redshirt freshman is 1-2 with a 6.55 ERA, 21 strikeouts, 16 walks in 22 innings pitched. This is just Middle Tennessee's third game of the Conference USA tournament, so I project that their third most used starter, Patrick Johnson, will bump for the Blue Raiders because he did start last Saturday and he would be on full rest here. The freshman right-hander is 3-5 in 7 starts with a 4.85 ERA, 15 strikeouts, 11 walks in 42.2 innings. Last weekend, Johnson threw 3.2 against Charlotte and he surrendered 3 runs on 3 hits, 2 of them being home runs. I don't have much conviction behind the pick here, but at plus money, Middle Tennessee is not a bad play at all. Before we jump into the rest of the games on this slate, let me tell you about Shady Rays, because SGPN is teaming up with them for Shady May. Not only do you get an amazing 50% off, but you have a chance to win $500. Shady Rays has you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays has durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. If you love them or don't love them, exchange them for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. And for our international listeners, Shady Rays has you covered with shipping to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. Go to ShadyRays.com and use promo code SGPN for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. And remember, May is almost over, so make sure you take your receipt to SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Shady for your chance to win the $500 Shady May contest.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, let's jump back into the rest of the games here. Moneyline Ed jumping in the chat. Good morning, my friend. Yeah, damn Stanford. I mean, that honestly, it was the right handicap. We bet Stanford at -140. They had the best pitcher in the conference going. It closed at -190. And Quinn Matthews just got blown up in 3 innings. You can't control that. 10 a.m. again. A lot of these games are starting really, really early today because these are like the semifinal games in double elimination pools. So the 10 a.m. starts. If the team that already has one loss wins, then they would come back and play. I checked it. It was around 4 a.m. or 4 a.m. Jeez, I cannot talk. I need to go to bed. But I checked, they would be rescheduled to play a winner go home game at like 4 p.m. If you would like us to do like a live show around 3:30, we could come back on here. Me, I could grab a guest and we could handicap these games right in front of you guys on live stream, on YouTube, on Twitter, on Twitch. I think that would be kind of cool. And we can display on the screens, share our screen, like what we're looking at when handicapping all these games. So let us know. I know it's the holiday weekend and I know it's right smack dab in the middle of the day, but hey, Some of us don't have a life. I know I don't. 10 a.m. Appalachian State plus 195 against Southern Miss minus 240. We have confirmed pitchers for this game. Pitching for App State will be Seth Whitley, and he is he last pitched on May 14th. On the year, the sophomore right-handed pitcher is 1-0 with a 12-10 ERA in 9 appearances, only 1 start, 8 strikeouts, 13 walks, and 9.2 innings. That's just a classic case of this is tournament postseason college baseball, and they have ran out of pitching, running the table in the loser's bracket. For Southern Miss, they will counter with Matt Adams, who's 3-2 with a 4.75 ERA, 60 strikeouts, 20 walks, and 53 innings pitched. The junior right-handed pitcher has not been good lately with a 9.67 ERA in his last 4 appearances of 9.1 innings total. My pick on this one is Southern Miss, but at minus 240, I just don't think you can bet it with, like I mentioned, Matt Adams. He has a 9.67 ERA in his last 4 appearances. That's just not backable. Justin Casey, he says yes, please. And Jordan Thackeray, that would be awesome. So, hey, I'll tell Colby, too, because he's back in America, and he's not doing anything, but he said he's free. So I'll get Colby, and then we might hit up a couple of guys in the space. Because Colby's the entertainment, but he's still new to handicapping baseball. So as much as we're going through sharing screens on our computer, I think Colby's going to be picking up some tips on handicapping baseball from us as well. Cause a lot of times he goes on what I say and just, you know, he's a really good handicapper in his own right at college football, college basketball. So he knows the trends and stuff and the rivalries and what spots are get ups and letdowns. And that's kind of his strategy on it. But I mean, I couldn't imagine Colby coming in and saying, hey, in his last 4 starts, he has a 3.20 ERA. He's doing really good. That would blow my mind if Colby ever did that. So, Colby, if you're watching, oh, man, if you could learn how to tally up an ERA over the last, I don't know, a month, that would be freaking awesome. You'd knock my socks off, seriously. At 11 a.m. in the A-Sun, this conference tournament bracket is madness, but I absolutely love it. So the top 4 teams from the regular season get put into pool play against each other. So they play 3 games. They all improve their RPIs by playing really good teams. And then the top 3 teams from that pool move on to the semifinals. And then the bottom 4 teams play each other in a pool play. And the first place team from that bottom pool gets to be put into the semifinals. So it's actually really cool. Jacksonville State came out of that bottom pool. They're plus 140 against Florida Gulf Coast at minus 175. Here's the thing, though. So there's no listed pitchers here, but Jacksonville State pitched everybody they could in the 3 games in that, I don't know what you would call it, but it's pool B where only one team comes out, whereas the other 3 teams in the semifinal, they know that, hey, there's a really good chance that we get out of our pool here. We don't need to throw all 3 of our weekend starters on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or actually I think this one was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They don't need to do that, but Jacksonville State did. So they're at a disadvantage here. Against Florida Gulf Coast, he did go 3-0 in that top pool to get to play Jacksonville State. So when you're talking about the Eagles, is the best offense, one of the best offenses in the country, it's just an uphill climb for Jacksonville State. I think that the Gamecocks will start AJ Causey, the sophomore right-handed pitcher, is 3-2 with a 4.20 ERA in 10 starts, 68 strikeouts, 19 walks in 55.2 innings. He's actually a really good option for the gauntlet that Jacksonville State just survived. And then I think that the Eagles will elect to start Justin Henschel, who's 6-2 on the year with a 5.20 ERA, 52 strikeouts, 29 walks, and 62.1 innings pitched. He's actually their best pitcher on the staff. Like I mentioned, this is a really, really good offensive team. Their pitching just kind of lacks. But both offenses combined for 15 runs against these 2 starters when they first faced each other earlier this season. Cansey gave up 7, and Henschel allowed 8. FGCU, they have the number 1 scoring offense in the A-Sun, averaging 9.6 runs a game. Jacksonville State's 5th with 6.8. So I lean Eagles here. However, I would love some chaos with Jacksonville State winning. Then again, I like the best teams in the NCAA tournament, and Florida Gulf Coast has been really good all season long. They've been really consistent, so I'd like to see them in the NCAA tournament, preferably. 1 o'clock p.m. in the SEC tournament, Texas A&M is plus 125 on the money line against Arkansas minus 155. So Dave Van Horn came out and said that Brady Tigert would make this start. So I'm pretty sure that he's going to be on a pitch limit. I would expect like 65 to 70 pitches. They only let Hagan Smith throw 75. So I don't think that Tigert's going to throw too much. And then this game's going to turn into Johnny Holstaff. Since Tigert's return from a UCL sprain, he has a 180 ERA in four starts, 10 total innings, but 180 ERA. This will be A&M's fifth game in Hoover this week. So an already unreliable staff is being stretched thinner than ever. And they've been stellar this week, though. And I project that Chris Cortez could attempt to keep that going. Cortez had last pitched on Thursday for 24 pitches in relief. But I think that he's going to be good to go if the sophomore right-hander starts. This would be his seventh start of the year. He has an ERA of 7.43 with a 3-0 record, 35 strikeouts, 38 walks, and 36.1 innings pitched. Over the last month, Cortez has a 7.59 ERA. I've already paid way too much on fading Schloss and the Aggies and Hoover this week. My pick's Arkansas, but I just can't bet against Texas A&M anymore. They've cost me too much money. We won on A&M yesterday, but I think I'm like 1-3 this week on them. So I don't know if I'm 1-3 with actual like money. I don't know if I've locked the other like their opponent in all three games that they've won. But we backed them against LSU. I don't know. I'm wasting too much time. We got to get this pod out. 1 p.m. In the ACC. So actually, this is another talking topic. Be a little bit cautious if you're putting money on these ACC games today. I don't know how this is going to work. There's going to be rain all day in Durham, North Carolina, and they moved up both games to 1 p.m. That way they can both play at the same time and try to avoid the heavy stuff. It's going to be raining from like 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. tonight. So it's going to be poor conditions. So, I mean, the overs for the ACC tournament just aren't going to be automatic today. And also, if you're betting these games, like just in general on the money line, I don't know the ruling for like certain, the official, what would happen, but if they play seven innings and one of these teams are losing, they honestly, it's not going to be rescheduled and they come back out and they play tomorrow. I think that it's just going to be finished at where they're at. And then the championship game would be tomorrow if they're even able to play it, because tomorrow it's supposed to rain all day. So just be aware a little bit on the ACC games, but I'm just letting you know, I'm betting both. Miami, Florida plus 125 against Wake Forest minus 155. We don't have any listed pitchers for this game, so I project that Alejandro Rosario will get the ball for Miami. Rosario last pitched last Friday, so he would be on 7 days rest here. The junior right-handed pitcher is 3-6 with an 8 ERA. He has 81 strikeouts, 37 walks, and 63 innings pitched. The only run he gave up, shit, that is miswrote in my notes. He gave up two runs and four innings on March 26th against Wake Forest, but he has a 7.68 ERA in his last six starts. So not in great form, but he has done okay against Wake so far this year. In general, there's a pattern, though, in his game log, in Rosario's game log. He has good starts against mid-majors on the midweeks, and then when he pitches against ACC teams, it's just not nearly as good. He has an 11-12 ERA against ACC teams. So actually Wake Forest was one of his better appearances in ACC play. I project that Wake Forest is going to start Josh Hartle on 7 days rest. He has a 9-2 record this year, 2.32 ERA, 106 strikeouts, 15 walks, and 81.1 innings pitched. This is an extremely disrespectful line on the Deeks here. Hammer it until it gets to minus 200 and then parlay it when it's there. Because if you're starting a guy with an 80 ERA against the best offense in the country, I think there's an issue here. And this best offense in the country is starting a guy with a 2.32 ERA, 106 strikeouts, only 15 walks. It's just off. Lane Elliott goes, I listened to the Wake coach give an interview after the game, and they seem pretty ready to go. They would be probably the only ACC team I could get behind today with the weather. I agree, Lane, but sneak peek, I'm betting the other game too. 1 o'clock p.m. Houston minus 160 against Tulane plus 130. No listed pitchers for this matchup, but I project that the Cougars will throw Malachi Lott, who last threw last Friday. And on the season, Lott is 0-4 with 7 starts, 21 strikeouts, 14 walks in 23.2 innings. Lott has a 9.38 ERA in his last 4 appearances. For Tulane, it's only their 3rd game this week, so I think that Billy Price will get their nod here. He started pretty much every weekend for them for the Green Wave, so I think he's going to be the 3rd starter for them in this American tournament. The grad senior southpaw is 0-2 with a 6.29 ERA, 34.1 innings, 31 strikeouts, 13 walks, and he has an 8.60 ERA over the last month. You have to love an over here, but as for a side, I lean Houston, but I'm not going to bet it. 1 p.m. we have that other game that I was talking about that I'm going to bet in the ACC. North Carolina minus 110 against Clemson minus 120. We have pitchers listed for this game. Towing the rubber for the Tar Heels will be Connor Beauvais. He is 4-3 on the year with a 5 ERA, 57 strikeouts, 22 walks in 72 innings. And then bumping for the Tigers will be Caden Grice. And he's Clemson's ace, but he goes usually 3rd in the rotation. That way he can hit and play the field during the whole weekend. Grice is 7-1 with a 3.18 ERA, 82 strikeouts, 31 walks in 62.1 innings pitched this season. These two pitchers started against each other last Saturday. Beauvais pitched 3.2, and he only allowed 1 run on 4 hits. Grice pitched 7.1 innings and gave up 1 run on 4 hits. Clemson just swept UNC last weekend, and Eric Backich's Tigers have won 14 games in a row now. They're 21-3 in their last 24 games. I know North Carolina's hot right now. They've won 2 ACC games in a row. They've won 7 straight ACC tournament games dating back to last season, but that just doesn't justify this game being priced at minus 110, minus 120. So give me Clemson here. Jordan Thackeray in the chat goes, DraftKings says NC and Clemson is at 5 p.m., but go check that out because of the weather, the North Carolina Clemson games being played at the DBAT, which is where all these games have been played, the Durham Bulls Athletic Park, but Wake Forest and Miami is actually being played on North Carolina's campus. Both games are starting at 1 p.m. 1:30 p.m. in the Peg 12 tournament. This is under a roof. You know, they don't have to worry about these things, but they can't fill it for their lives. Oklahoma State is minus 120 against Texas Tech minus 110. There are no listed pitchers for this game, so I project that Oklahoma State will start Brian Hendry since he last pitched on the 18th for just 1 inning. Hendry is 2-1 with 5 starts this season. He has a 6.63 ERA through 16 appearances on the year, 51 strikeouts, 14 walks. Texas Tech scored 3 runs in 5.1 innings against Hendry earlier this season. I projected that Trendon Paris would pitch last game for Tech, but he did not. So now I think that the sophomore right-handed pitcher is good to go on 7 days rest here. Parrish is 3-2 with a 6 ERA. 50 strikeouts, 35 walks in 57 innings pitched. Parrish allowed 3 runs on 4 hits in 2 innings in his first start against Oklahoma State, and he just hasn't been in good form recently with a 10.86 ERA in his last 3 appearances. I like the Pokes in this game. Minus 120 is good enough if you like that one. and want to bet it in the Big 12 tournament. Just know that there would be another game after that. So, I mean, the strategy there is that, hey, like if Oklahoma State goes up big early, if they take like a 4-run, 5-run lead, which is what they did against Oklahoma State and what Texas Tech fell down against Oklahoma, Texas Tech's not going to throw in pitchers that, you know, they rely on. They're going to say, hey, we're down 4 or 5 offense. Go try and get us back in this game. But if not, no biggie. We've got one more tonight. So that's the strategy there. If you see live lines on that and it's reasonable, if Oklahoma State has a lead early on in this game, and this goes for any of those games in the morning, by the way, live play on a -160 line when the team that has one loss is up 3 in the game, it's not a bad look at all, because the other team without a loss, they're going to play to win one of the two games. So if that means holding back some reliable relievers in the first game to make sure they can go in the second game, that's what they'll probably do. 1:30 p.m. in the Conference USA tournament, Western Kentucky +190 against Dallas Baptist -235. No listed pitchers for this game, and that's probably because the Hilltoppers are in trouble. They've ran out of guys to start. I think they'll give the ball to Jack Bennett and they'll say, take us as far as you can. The freshman has only started 2 games this season. He has 24 appearances, but he's 0-3 with a 7.34 ERA, 37 strikeouts, 16 walks. And Bennett just threw 48 pitches on Wednesday and then 8 more on Friday. Either way, I think he's their best option. If they start somebody else, I like it even more. Dallas Baptist enters this game. It's their 3rd game of the week, which means that I think they'll go with their 3rd starter, Zach Heaton. And he's going to be on full rest here because he last threw last Saturday. The redshirt senior is on full rest. Like I mentioned, he's 3-1 with a 367 ERA, 47 strikeouts, 22 walks in 56.1 innings, 14 starts this season. I think that Dallas Baptist is a great parlay piece here, as DBU's staff has only surrendered a total of 4 runs in the 2 games they've played so far this tournament. So Dallas Baptist -235, I co-sign that as a parlay builder for Saturday's action, at least early on in the day. 1:30 p.m. in the Sun Belt, the Fun Belt, Louisiana is +130 against Coastal Carolina -160. No listed pitchers for this one, as I project that Blake Hammond could start for Louisiana. He last pitched on May 14th. Hammond is 3-3 with a 3.78 ERA, 51 strikeouts, 21 walks in 50 innings pitched. This one seems a little fishy to me, a little weird. Why hasn't Hammond pitched in over a week when he has, you know, that's a good line for a pitcher in the Sun Belt. So there might be an injury that is here and I'm not aware of, but if he's fine, I think he's going to throw. And I think he should do fine. For Coastal, I think that Matthew Potok will take the mound. The sophomore is 3-3 with a 6.75 ERA, 49 strikeouts, 14 walks in 44 innings, and 11 starts this season. Potok has a 10.50 ERA in his last 6 starts. This game is about to be very high scoring, which fits the characteristics of the Chanticleers play style more than it does Louisiana's. So that's my pick there, Coastal Carolina. -160 is a bit too high, though, if Hammond actually does get the start, because he hasn't been bad at all this season. 2:00 p.m. in the Big Ten tournament, Nebraska is +110 against Maryland -140. Nebraska's pitching staff has looked amazing in Omaha. They've barely exhausted any relievers, especially after Will Walsh's complete game shutout yesterday. I projected that Jackson Bennett would start for the Cornhuskers, but obviously he did not pitch yesterday, and now he's on full rest today, and I think he would get the ball here. But Brockett is 2-1 with a 4.19 ERA in 6 starts. He has 38.2 innings pitched this year, 34 strikeouts, 22 walks. He has a 13 ERA in his last 5 outings. So not great form recently. Maybe that's why they didn't elect to throw him yesterday, but now I think they have to throw him today. For the Terps, it's only their 3rd game in Omaha this week, and I project that Jason Savickle will get the start. He threw 20 pitches of relief in extra innings, that thriller that Nebraska and Maryland played on Thursday night. But I think Savakul should be good to go come Saturday. He's 7-5 on the year with a 4.61 ERA, 82 strikeouts, 35 walks in 84 innings. In this season, Savakul has thrown 7 innings against Nebraska, giving up 5 runs. And then Savakul is also, he owns a 7.06 ERA in his last 6 appearances. Therefore, I'm calling for the Cornhusker upset here because they've been battling all week. They've got a great fan base out there with them, and I would love to see them force a game 7 here in this pool, the bottom half of the Big Ten bracket. But I'm not going to bet it at +110. After all, it is Maryland, and they're one of the better offenses in the Big Ten, and it's a tough back when Nebraska in their own right is pitching Brockett, who has a 13 ERA over his last 5 outings. So I'm rooting for Nebraska here to force some chaos in Omaha. Maybe we get a game ending at 2 a.m. out there tonight. But as of now, I'm going to pass. But +110 on Nebraska is the pick for that game. 3 p.m. in the ASUN tournament, we go back there. Liberty is -115. Lipscomb is -115. No listed pitchers here for this game, but I project that ASUN All-Conference starter Garrett Horn will get the ball on 7 days rest for Liberty. The sophomore southpaw is 5-4 with a 3.44 ERA, 86 strikeouts, 42 walks in 65.1 innings. For the Bison, I think that Braden Tucker will get the nod. The grad senior is a right-handed pitcher. He's 3-0 with a 2.98 ERA, 46 strikeouts, 12 walks in 45.1 innings. We have an ace versus ace battle here, and I think both should pitch pretty well. Tucker threw 5 shutout innings, only 1 hit allowed in his first start against the Flames, and Horn threw 4 innings, only 2 runs allowed. I slightly lean to Lipscomb here, but this is going to be a great game. So if you have nothing on, which I'm sure there's plenty of games on and you don't have enough TVs for today, this would be a nice secondary TV game. Switching hats for the back end of the last half of this podcast. We got 2 more games, 5 o'clock PM in the SEC tournament. Vanderbilt is +105 on the money line. Florida is -135. And because of some injuries to Vandy's pitching staff, we don't have any pitchers announced yet, but I had to go down the depth chart a little bit here to project that Ryan Ginther could get the start here against Florida. Ginther last appeared on Saturday for 69 pitches. So he'll be on full rest. I cannot say that phrase. I don't know why I wrote it down so many times today, but the sophomore southpaw is 2-0 with a 3.03 ERA, 34 strikeouts, 12 walks in 32.2 innings pitched. 2 weeks ago, Ginther appeared against Florida twice, and he allowed 2 runs in the 3 innings over the weekend. And I would like to wish a happy Jack Caglione Day to those who celebrate. The two-way star should start here, and I'm fairly certain that'll happen. Cags is 6-2 with a 3.96 ERA, 71 strikeouts, 44 walks in 61.1 innings pitched this season. 2 weeks ago, Jack Caglione pitched against Vandy, 6.2 innings, only 1 run. He had 9 punchies with 1 walk and 1 hit allowed. I like the Gators here at -135 quite a bit. Then the last game on our slate is at 10 p.m. Arizona -115 against Oregon -115. This is a straight up toss up from the books here. No pitchers listed for this game, but I highly recommend the over 62.5 or whatever it's going to be set at here, because the balls are flying out like crazy in Scottsdale. It's an absolute launch pad, like we mentioned before the tournament. But the Wildcats, they're averaging 13 runs scored per game in Scottsdale, and Oregon is just under 8 runs a game. Neither of them will have any sort of quality starter pitching at the beginning of this game. And if they do have a quality starter, he will be not on adequate rest. For Arizona, I project that TJ Nichols will get the nod. He's 3-5 with an 8.08 ERA, 50 strikeouts, 27 walks in 55.2 innings pitched. Nichols has an 18 ERA in his last 3 appearances. As for Oregon, I project that Leo Uelmann will get the ball. He's a freshman. He's 3-4 on the year with a 7.43 ERA, 34 strikeouts, 28 walks, and 46 innings. He too is in terrible form with a 1929 ERA in his last three appearances. However, earlier this season, he pitched against Arizona and he had 4.1 innings, allowing just one run on three hits. As for this game, I don't think that matters. The Wildcats lineup is just so hot right now compared to where they were in the middle of the season. They started off good, then they went cold. Now they're hot again, it looks like, in Scottsdale. They just scorched Quinn Matthews, the conference's best pitcher, for 9 runs in 3 innings. Arizona minus 115 is the pick for me here. When pitchers come out, and it could possibly be Yuleman, and if it's Nichols, or they, if Arizona tries to force a better starter out of their hand or out of their pen with less rest than they should, I'd probably end up betting Arizona minus 115 here. So that's going to do it for the pod. And like I mentioned, so at the end of the day, there's not going to be just 2 games at 5 p.m. or later. There's going to be plenty. A lot of these games are double elimination scenarios. So if the team with one loss wins against the team without a loss, then they will just run it back in the nightcap. So we won't have this empty window from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. without any games. So if you guys would like, we will do a live show handicapping some of those games that will start from anywhere from 4 p.m. to 11 p.m. We'll do a show around like 3 o'clock, 3:30. That's if I wake up on time, because I'm going to go to bed here. I'm going to hit the hay. But I will hit up Colby, and I'll hit up a couple other guys in the space if they want to jump on and just do some live handicapping. And we'll probably have the 2 ACC games on during that time. We'll probably have Arkansas, Texas A&M on during that time, and we'll just watch some games live, handicap some games live. If that sounds cool, tweet at us, let us know. And yeah, but before I head out here, my card, first off, my edge boost double down play of the day is Wake Forest minus 155 on the money line. Miami is going to, like, at least I project that Miami has to pitch a guy with an 8 ERA against Josh Hartle and one of the best offenses in the freaking country. This line's not priced correctly. It's at minus 155 currently. This is going to close around minus 185. The only nerve I have about this game is the rain. Like, if Miami takes an early lead, which I don't really expect them to, I expect Wake to score early and often. The only nervous part about it I have in general is just if Wake is losing at some point during this game and it gets just postponed, ultimately it might even get canceled. And then that's how we lose the bet. Otherwise, I'd be very, very surprised if Wake Forest loses to Miami, because I just haven't really been too impressed with Miami this season. The other straights that I'm playing here are minus 120 on Clemson's money line, with Caden Grice on the mound against North Carolina. Minus 120 isn't really a correct price there either, in my opinion, with how hot Clemson's been. They just swept North Carolina over the weekend. I don't know why these teams are basically being priced at a heads up. It doesn't make sense. Then at minus 135, I'm taking Florida's money line against Vanderbilt. I think Vanderbilt is just a little bit too banged up in that pitching staff. I think the best guy that they have to throw here is Ryan Ginther, and it would just be his third start of the season. So yeah, I like Florida at minus 135 there. I think it's a fair price. I don't think it's mispriced by any means. Vanderbilt's still a very quality team, and they jumped all over Alabama yesterday in the first inning. But Florida minus 135 is the last straight play here for me in the early part of the day with all these opening lines. Then the parlay pieces. I only have 2 parlay pieces today that I really loved. We're fading Miami with Wake Forest minus 155. Like I mentioned, Josh Hartle on the mound against a guy with an 80 ERA. Wake Forest has one of the best offenses in the country. And then also the other leg there is Dallas Baptist. This thing comes out to plus 134. So Wake Forest and Dallas Baptist is the podcast parlay for me here today. Follow me on Twitter. I'll be interacting when I wake up. And hit us up if you want us to do that live show during the day. My Twitter is at 77NB, the word 70, the number 7NB. Hit up the show. The show is The College Experience on Twitter at TCE on SGPN. Download the pod. Leave a like, rating, review, subscribe on either YouTube or the podcast platform that you're listening to. We really appreciate you listening here on the holiday weekend. I mean, I got nothing else to plug. I just have to get this pod up here in the next 20 minutes. So thank you all for listening. And actually, we had a great audience here live today too, this morning. Thank you all for tuning in on a holiday weekend, like I mentioned. You've been experiencing the better side of college baseball with the College Baseball Experience. Adios, amigos.